College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into Players Only, Thursday nights at 6 o'clock on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5, The Fan. Here's the bad boy from Bayonne.
Chiefs do such a great job of pre-snap movement, shifts, and motions to declare what the defense is doing.
Chiefs Radio Network color analyst, Damon Hughes.
What's going on, Chiefs Kingdom? We are back in the building, Players Only, as we come to you each and every Thursday night, 6 to 7 p.m. during the Chiefs season. It is great to be back here in studio after another victory out at Arrowhead West. Radio Stadium. That's a stretch, Julio, to even call it Raiders Stadium because trust me when I tell you, being out there at Arrowhead West, it was truly like a home game. I want to say at least 85% of the fans there in Vegas were Chiefs. Red jerseys were all around. They actually had to pump in sound to boo us when we came onto the field because Mitch and I, Josh and I, Dan, we all looked at each other like, who is booing the Chiefs coming onto the field during pregame warmups and before the national anthem, because everybody there, at least seemed like everyone there, were in red jerseys and cheering on the Chiefs. So they were obviously manufacturing sound at Arrowhead West. And until they are able to beat us there on a consistent basis, until they're able to not feel like they are the away team in their own stadium, I'm going to continue to call it Arrowhead West. So it was a great victory against the Raiders, and it's great to be back here in the booth to talk about our solely undefeated Chiefs team at 7-0. Special time. We should relish this time, definitely, and understand the magic that is brewing towards a third consecutive Super Bowl run. Again, I am Danon Hughes. You can follow me on X/Twitter at DAHughesGuy83, on Instagram at Danon Hughes. The phone lines, text lines are open, 913-586-7695. If you were listening to us last week, if you've listened to us in the past, we got a hot fire, spitfire take in the second quarter. And then the phone lines and text lines are open in the third quarter. So make sure you call in or text in because you never know. I might tackle it. So it's been, as I said, it's a great time to be on the air. It's a great time to be a Chiefs fan. It's a great time to be in the Chiefs Kingdom. Like we do each and every week, we go through this show in quarters like a football game. The first quarter is just a recap of playing the Las Vegas Raiders, and that game, look, the score was closer than it was. There was a little bit of extra action, some movement in regards to momentum and confidence during the game, but ultimately the Chiefs wind up coming out with the victory. And regardless if you are of the school of thought, maybe spoiled, maybe you have high expectations in regards to great football teams, beat up other teams that are not good. I've said this time and time again. In the NFL, blowouts don't happen very often. And contrary to, I've raised five kids, I had kids play sports, you have kids, you may go to high school, you may have coached high school, college, etc. You see the University of Arkansas Pine Bluff play Alabama in the first three games of the season, and the score is 50-something to nothing, and it's a money grab for a smaller school or what have you. That does not happen in the NFL. There is so much parity in the NFL that there are more close games than there are blowouts. And our Chiefs, and I've said this for many, many occasions, especially since Patrick Mahomes has been at the quarterback position, there is a knack to winning games and knowing how to win games versus learning or figuring out how to lose games. Ask Brendan Staley, the former coach of the Chargers. Ask John Gruden. Ask all the coaches that have come and gone in the NFL for different organizations that if you look back at their resume, there's probably five or six per season, not just throughout their career, but maybe five or six games per season that led to their ouster, that led to their firing, that they had a chance to win, and they figured out a way to lose. They gave it up. Robert Saleh with the Jets, they figured out ways to lose games, and we are very fortunate that in those tight pressure cooker situations, we know how to win games, and we wind up beating a Raiders team that beat us on Christmas Day. I would twist those words around and said we lost that game on Christmas Day. They didn't beat us. When you complete, what, one pass in the second half or three quarters and your only two touchdowns were a pick six and a scoop and score, those are our mistakes. Having said that, we got some sort of retribution, if that's the case, like if you want to say that, against the Raiders, and because they figured us out. Remember Antonio Pierce? They figured out they had the recipe to beating us. Evidently, they didn't get the right ingredients this time. I don't know what it is, but nevertheless, we got the win. After that win, I was able to go down to the locker room. As I've said on many occasions, my job on game day, I'm in the booth on 96.5 The Fan doing the broadcast. I'm the color analyst with Mitch Holtis, who does an outstanding job. The best, absolute best in the business in his 31st season, and I am just along for the ride, having fun with him in the booth. And then as soon as the clock hits zero, I go down to the locker room and I get to interview a couple of players before we jump on the bus and leave. Or if we're at Arrowhead, I can go out and actually tailgate after the game because I can't tailgate before the game. So this past week, I love my Chiefs. I love everything about this Chiefs organization, but if you've listened to me in the past, especially when Sean Barber or Desmond Moses or Bill Moss has been in this booth, you know, I don't necessarily have an affinity for defense. I'm a former wide receiver. Defense, you know, it kind of makes my stomach curl a little bit. Mark Collins has been in here, so I have to be professional. I did a meet and greet with Mark McMillan out in Vegas, a Mighty Mouse, who was my teammate as well. But this week, because of how proficient our defense has been, I felt led to make sure that my two post-game interviews went to the defensive side. So let's go. I interviewed Tershawn Warren, who I think has been an unsung hero. You consider his route to the NFL, Missouri S&T, you know, bottom of the barrel, you know, free agent signee that has worked himself as a mainstay in this defense, and got a chance to talk to him after the game about this big win. Here with Tershawn Warren. Tershawn, tough, hard-nosed fight. Obviously, the Raiders have every incentive to come out here and play what seemed to be their Super Bowl, but you guys were able to counter that, especially on the defensive side.
Yes, sir. You know, more power to that team. You know, they battled all four quarters, man, and they fought to the end, you know.
How about you guys, your defense, especially that stop inside the five-yard line? How big was that for you guys, and how were you guys able to carry this when there was a lull on offense, a couple of miscues on special teams, but the defense stood strong?
Well, you know, coaches always tell us steadfast. So when the bullets flying, you know, we go out there and do what we're supposed to do. So, you know, it was a little pick. And we came back out, and we knew what we had to do. You know, we wanted 3 or 9, so and we did it.
Yeah, and now, obviously, you look at the stats. The last drive kind of dampens a little bit because you guys are in a prevent defense and obviously cognizant of the clock. But outside of that, what do you grade the performance? What do you think about how you guys stepped up today?
I mean, we always got to go look at the film. I still don't feel like we played our complete game yet. I think the second half we came out a little better. That first quarter, we went who we was. But, yeah, we'll look at it.
All right, how big is it to be 7-0?
It's good, man. We on to the next one. 1-0 every week.
Love that mindset. Great interview by Tershawn. You know, there are some guys that are will take an interview and go for a long period of time, got a lot to say, but then there's guys that just stand on the business. And when he talked about this defense, and I love that mindset. And I think as Chiefs fans in the Chiefs kingdom, we love the guys that are just short and concise, and it's about the business at hand. And when you listen to that interview, he's talking about it's just another game. And if you guys remember several weeks ago when it was Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, and it was the biggest game in that stadium's history, and what we thought it was week three. And then you move on, and the Monday night game against the Saints, and you know, the game against the Raiders, we're going out to the last scene of the crime and winning the Super Bowl on their field. And Andy Reid having just as many wins in that stadium as any coach that's ever played in that stadium, which is a phenomenal stat. The fact that he's got just as many wins in that stadium or more than most of the coaches that have coached the Raiders during their tenure in Vegas is amazing to me. But then to have a guy like Tershawn Wharton that's sitting there saying, you know what, it's 7-0. There's things that we can do better. The last drive is not up to our standard, and the business is the business. So encouraging to me that guys are have that mindset. We're talking about 20-something-year-olds. I got five kids. My youngest is 23. My oldest is 37. To have that mindset and that focus and that intentionality and the mindset of, like, we got a bigger task at hand. Let's remember, there were times where teams beat us and, you know, you had the Raiders last year smoking cigars in our locker room. You had other teams that, you know, the Raiders in the past doing circles around our stadium. You had other teams celebrating regular season wins in the fashion like it was a postseason game, and yet our Chiefs just kind of stand on business. I think it's a great, great reflection of leadership. It's a great reflection of championship mindset. Not everybody has it. Everybody aspires to it, but they don't have it, and it's just so refreshing to hear. Let's remember, the phone lines, text lines open, 913-586-7695. I want to go to my second interview post-game, in the locker room. I'm walking around. I'm like, is there somebody on offense that's worth talking to in this situation? I felt like I still had to gravitate towards the defense, and I went to one of the leaders on defense, Justin Reid. Big win, divisional rival, tough game, tough, hard-fought game, but the defense really stepped up.
Yeah, I think that we're just trying to stay consistent to who we are and our identity. I think that there's still some plays out there that we wish we could have back, and we're going to continue to just hone in on the film and try and correct those mistakes and just try and be as dominant as we can be.
Talk about the mindset of this defense. Patrick throws an interception. It's a deflected pass. You guys have your backs to the goal line and able to come out with that great goal line stand.
This is the ultimate team sport. We have so much confidence in our offense and so much belief in ourselves as a team that we know that it doesn't matter what the situation is. If the offense has a hiccup, then we'll bail them out. And if we have a hiccup, the offense will bail us out. You know what I mean? It's the ultimate team game, and we rely on each other and trust in each other. And that just gives us the ultimate edge to go out there, play at a high level, and just try and make the plays that we can make.
I know you guys want to go out there and play at the high level. You have goals internally. One of those goals is probably not holding a team under 28 points again, but that's what you guys accomplished. How big is it for you guys to know that you're continuing to make history in the NFL by being stingy on defense?
Yeah, I mean, we're very I guess we're very proud of that, but at the same time, 28 is still a big number. I'd love to kick that number down lower than that, and, you know, start a new streak with the number under 20 or whatever it is, you know. So we're just going to keep trying to push the needle there. And like I said, like there are some plays out there that, you know, as I feel good about the two sudden change situations, but there's still some drives out there that we wish we could have back. We're going to continue to get better at those.
Last question, Justin. How big is it to be 7-0 right now?
Huge, huge. You want to just keep stacking them. Biggest thing is the same message all season, not to be comfortable with that, because next week is 0-0. We know we have another tough battle, Monday Night Football primetime against Tampa Bay. They're a good team, talented, and they're going to give us their best shot, so we got to be ready for that.
Yeah, great, great mindset. Great interview by Justin Reed, one of the consummate professionals in that locker room, a guy that leads by example, may not have the loudest voice, but you can tell he's projecting the mindset of this defense. He speaks life into this team. He's one of those guys, and I played in that locker room. I've been in that locker room with great leaders that spoke life into other people. It's amazing because there are times where I'm in that locker room and I'm doing those interviews, and there are players that are doing their own thing. They might be on Facebook or on Instagram. They might be texting their parents or their family or their spouses. They may be getting ready to get treatment or what have you. But what I thought was amazing in that instance is that it seemed like several ears were tuned in to the exact words that Justin was speaking. It tells you a lot about his impact in that locker room. It tells you about his leadership in that locker room. And it tells you that those guys feed off of his voice, which is very unique. A lot of times guys make a lot of white noise. There's a lot of screaming and yelling at different times. And I can tell you from experience, you learn to tune out certain guys because they may not practice what they preach. They may just be just about the rah-rah and the loud noises, but they're not bringing any meat behind it. It's very refreshing to see not only him be a guy that's willing to stand on that platform, but also project in a way that everybody else is feeding off of. So props to Justin, props to Tershawn. That is the end of the first quarter of our show. Second quarter, remember, phone lines, text lines open. I see you, Dan, and KCK, 913-586-7695. We got hot fire, spit fire takes. Text lines are open. Let's get it done, man. Let's get something hot going for this second quarter.
You're listening to Players Only with Danan Hughes on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
All right, we are back. Second quarter of Players Only. I am Danan Hughes. The phone lines, text lines are open. 913-586-7695. We got the hot fire, spit fire takes in this second quarter of the show. And I got something big. This is a big time during our lives, Julio. And I'm gonna preface this because this can go on for a little bit of a long rant, but at the same time, I think it's very pertinent. There's some informational parts of this in regards to my hot fire, spit fire takes. I see Dan, you're online. We're gonna get to you in the third quarter like we always do. I need Dan right after halftime of this show. He's like the Monster / 5-Hour Energy / Red Bull that we all need. Add ghost drinks to that. I like ghost drinks as well. But my hot fire, spit fire take is this. There are many, many things that can split up a locker room. There are different things that fracture locker rooms. And there are things that galvanize locker rooms. We just talked about in the first quarter, guys like Justin Reed who spit fire and spring life into a locker room just by the way he voices things and things that are going on. For me, in this circumstance, what can fracture locker rooms, I want to go to Nick Bosa. Nick Bosa took the opportunity to jump in the middle of Brock Purdy's interview and make his presence known in a circumstance to endorse his political beliefs. Everybody has a freedom to do certain things and to have certain actions, but I can tell you this from a locker room. I've been in the locker room with a lot of Christian athletes and having an atheist in the locker room. Never fractured it because there was genuine respect. Even though pregame prayers, that player didn't opt to pray with us, went into the shower, went on his own, went to the bathroom, did his own thing because of his personal beliefs, that showed us respect. We also showed respect in, hey, we're not trying to force you to do anything that's against your will, against your mindset, against your religious beliefs. What can fracture a team is something that Nick Bosa did, not by stepping in with a hat on and making an announcement, a brief announcement at the podium afterwards. It's more about the fact that he dodged the questions and the opportunity to stand on his belief, stand on his business, stand on his truth. From a player's perspective, you have race, religion, politics. You know, there's single guys versus married guys. There are guys with kids and no kids. All of these different dynamics to build up, just like every single company in America that comes together. The problem, and I'm looking at the pivot with Ryan Clark and what he was talking specifically about it. I got this text from a friend, and it was dead on in regards to being a coward in regards to that circumstance and using that platform on prime time to promote something that you were not willing to stand on specifically and stand at a podium and talk about why. And guys will respect, although they may disagree, they may have different beliefs, they may have different feelings. Anytime you have an opportunity to stand on your business and speak it, you will garner respect. And when you don't, it can create a fracture. It might not be a break. It might just be a hairline fracture. It might be a small fracture, but it creates a fracture because there's lack of communication in what you believe and what you're standing on. Trust me when I tell you that that is huge in the makeup of a company, a makeup of a corporation, definitely makeup of a team in that circumstance. I feel like if there was a donkey of the week, if there was a donkey of the day, if there was an idiot of the day, it is Nick Bosa, not because he wanted to promote something, but because he took the side door or back door out of being able to stand on why. And as much as a lot of players may not like it, there are players out there that say, you know what? I played football through Pop Warner. I played football through high school. I played football through college. I just want to play football like I've always done. And now I'm a professional and I'm asked to do all of these other things, interviews, autographs, pictures, all this other stuff that I just want to play football. Not everybody is built like Justin Reed to have great great foundations and the 15 and Mahomes and Travis Kelce and all. Not everybody is built the same way. They don't. Not all players want to have all of that. They just want to play football. But they're cast into a situation based on the money that they make, that they have other things that they're responsible for, and they have other platforms. And those guys are asked to stand on their business, to stand on their truth. And when you have a guy that's prominent like Nick Bosa that doesn't do that, but still takes the opportunity to take some shine away from Brock Purdy in that circumstance to promote something and then not have the guts to be able to follow up with that, that is a challenge. That is a problem. And I guarantee you, although there may be guys, because he's the most prominent guy in that locker room in many respects, there are guys that will shy away from going and talking to the big bad defensive end that's more physically imposing or more prominent and a superstar. You might shy away from it, just like you would shy away from going to your boss or a coworker that's more tenured to speak about something personal. But I can tell you it's an effect. I can tell you that it's a negative effect in your locker room, in your organization, when you have that kind of presence and you have that kind of selfishness when a guy wants to stand out and do that and then not have the guts to stand on business afterwards. So I am so happy. Like, there are times, I'm sure Harrison Butker, when he went through all the stuff that he went through during the offseason, I've been in that locker room. I know he's talked to people. He's had those conversations within the organization. And guys, although they may have a difference of opinion, respect it. They respect him for being mature enough to be able to stand firm, not only on his beliefs, but stand firm in his relationships in the locker room. So my hot fire take is recognizing what we have and the greatness and all that positivity that we have, and then also seeing the antithesis of that in regards to what a guy like Nick Bosa did and tried to do and how he tried to use his platform to kind of poison things that he knows is divisive within our country. So, Julio, that's my hot fire take. I'm not a big fan of it, but I want to hear what kind. There we go. I appreciate that, man. I think that's real, especially in the times now. We got votes coming up. We got the election coming up. We got to recognize that there's more that we are alike than we differ. And we just got to make sure that we have respect for each other and we understand everybody's perspective is different. Let's come together and make it right. So, yeah, Nick Bosa, donkey of the day, donkey of the week. And that's all I got to say about that. When we come back, we got the text lines, the phone lines open. Dan, we will get to you. I see a bunch of texts, some about D-Hop and his first Monday night game and also talking about this Monday night game against the Buccaneers coming up. We're going to tackle all that next.
Time's yours.
You're listening to Players Only with Dan and Hughes on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Second and goal to go for the Chiefs at the 9. Sprint left action, wide open left side, caught Worthy, left front pylon, touchdown! Kansas City, Xavier Worthy back into the end zone for the third time on a reception, fifth time in his rookie year, and the Chiefs have blown it open by 2 touchdowns.
Definitely one of the biggest plays of the game, Xavier Worthy, touchdown. I broke that down on KSHB. For this weekend's Danon's Data and Big Play Danon. So if you get a chance to check it out on 41 KSHB, I do those segments each and every week. Broke down all the dynamics of that play, the pick, the slant route by Justin Watson on the outside and how that opened the door for Xavier Worthy on that touchdown. Another huge play there that kind of gave us a little bit more cushion, a 2-score lead in that game with just under 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Again, this is Danon Hughes. Follow me on X/Twitter at DAHughesGuy83 and on Instagram at Danon Hughes. Phone lines, text lines are open. This is the third quarter. This is the time's yours. We go to the text lines and the phone lines. Let's go to Dan in KCK.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? It was a great win by the Chiefs. Yeah, Kelce with a touchdown. Then Xavier Worthy with a touchdown. And then DeAndre Hopkins looked pretty good in his debut. Then he's going to get the playbook going in pretty good. And the defense played good. The goal line stand was really big. And the Minshew fumble was really big, too. And a great team win by the Chiefs. Let's take care of business with the Buccaneers on Monday Night Football. And I remember the Chiefs on the Raiders rivalry real good. I remember 1969 when the Chiefs won the last AFL game. Lenny Dawson remembers that kind of a few others had his suitcase back because they thought they were going to win that game, you know. And I remember the Andre Rison touchdown off of Gerbach. So take care of yourself, man. Let's take care of the Bucks.
Appreciate you, Dan. Definitely that infusion of energy. Love that Dan is committed every single week to call in and give us that energy. Love his passion and love for the Chiefs. Appreciate that, Dan. We got Big T. Big T on the line. What's going on, Big T?
Hey, man, not much. Just tuning into your show. Good stuff. Yeah, I like how you did the interviews with the defensive players and their mindset and how they just react to a 0-0 and just keep pushing on. And you talk about some of them leaders you played with. I remember that first year you played with some of them big cats, Smith and Thomas and Phillips and Dan Salimua. Mm-hmm. But then that defensive backfield with Lewis and Carter and Martin Bayless and The Rock, Kevin Ross. He was a badass mofo, Dana. So those guys are great leaders, and this team has great leaders and a great defense. And when we keep rolling with this defense with the dangerous Pat Mahomes, the best trigger man in the league, the king of sling and the mind of Andy Reid and Spags, we're going to go a long way. This is going to be a great season. Let's take it one game at a time. I love that mindset and great show. Well, let's beat Tampa Bay on Monday, and as always, let's go Chiefs.
Yes, sir. Big T, appreciate that, man. Definitely. We got a mature group of dudes, man, and it's fun to be a part of. And I expect it to continue this week against the Buccaneers, who are going to come in here with a little bit of a vengeance on their mind. They lost the last two games. We're going to get into more of that matchup in the fourth quarter of the show, but I got to go to the text line. And the number one text that pops out to me after I did my hot fire, spit fire take from the 913, he says, terrible take. Couldn't disagree with you more. He stood on business multiple times by not taking the spotlight completely off his teammates' interview while making his point clear. I guess we're just going to have to agree to disagree. Because to me, taking a spotlight, maybe you have a different definition of that, but running across the screen, freezing in front of the screen, flashing a hat, then getting on the podium and saying that you did what you did, that's pretty much all you got to say about it. That's not standing on business. So, standing on business, you just heard Big T. I played with Kevin Ross. I played with Albert Lewis. I played with Joe Montana, Marcus Allen, Derek Thomas, guys that had different views, different opinions on various things. And they stood up and they talked about it and they had a presence about it. And I just feel like, and I'm not in that locker room, so maybe I'm not giving him the benefit of the doubt, but I have not heard one follow-up comment, statement, interview from any player in the Niners locker room that said, this is what Nick Bosa did afterwards. What I do know is what he did on the podium afterwards. So I guess we'll just have to agree to disagree. All right. I got Dustin from Golf Tech. My man Dustin at 913. Help me with my golf swing. How do you think the weather might affect the Chiefs game on Monday night? I know it's supposed to be raining throughout this weekend. I don't think it's going to affect us too much. When you consider how we've been able to run the game, run the ball, Dustin, I think we are in a position that is very unique in this day and age, that we have the capabilities of still making huge plays with the greatest quarterback alive and Patrick Mahomes and this offense. But at the same time, we are a team that's leading the NFL in first down yardage in the run game. We are averaging over 4 yards per run play on first down when we opt to run the ball. So if it's inclement weather and we can run the ball in that fashion against a team that, contrary to what we've seen from the Buccaneers in the past, this defense is not playing very well. They are amongst the bottom in many categories defensively. So if we can establish the run like we have in recent weeks, specifically since Kareem Hunt has came on board, then the weather will not be a factor. Ball security comes with the weather. I feel confident that we'll be able to still prevail and make it a win and come out of primetime 8-0 on the season. From the 913, D-Hop, first game at Arrowhead as a Chiefs on Monday Night Lights. I loved how they inserted DeAndre Hopkins in this offense, gave him specific plays. I will tell you this, in watching the game and calling the game, I know when fans are watching the game, they're watching the ball. When I'm watching the game in the booth and I'm calling a game, there are many times I'm watching everything but the ball until the ball moves. There were many times, several times, where I saw DeAndre Hopkins run really quality routes, be a guy that was probably more open than the intended receiver or the option that happened after that. And I feel like once they got to dissect the film, because that's the first time that he's been able to play full-speed football with Patrick Mahomes, you dissect the film, and Patrick is probably sitting there with Matt Nagy and Andy Reid like, oh, that's how he got open on the backside slant when I threw it out of bounds, or it was incomplete to Xavier Worthy, or the other options, I ran the ball when maybe I could have gone to him quicker. Those are going to be part of the growing processes that help DeAndre get more acclimated into the offense and more dependent in the offense. So I feel like D-Hop coming here, playing on Monday Night Football, obviously he's played in Arrowhead Stadium on the biggest stage, especially in the playoffs. I don't expect it to go down. I expect it to continue to grow. I expect big things from him. Okay, we got Batman from the 913. What's up, Batman KC?
Man, you know, you guys, there's no – I can't ever get any more closer to than with you, because you have, your expertise comes from the heart and comes from being out there. All I can tell you is this defense this year, I'm old, and all we ever talked about was
Hey, Batman, we got a bad connection, man. I heard you talk about this defense, and it sounded like you were giving them flowers as well about how lucky we are to have this defense and how it's carrying it. I'm just going to make an assumption there, but unfortunately, we really couldn't hear you clearly. So definitely try to call back or, you know, get back with us next week for sure as well. From the 913, Reed knows the skill set and is better than the Browns showing up in KC. I agree. We know what our skill set is. That's one of the great things. We know our identity. Our identity is strong defense and complementary offense. And how few times or how often or lack thereof can you say that a team has the best tight end in the business, the best quarterback in the business, and yet we're talking about the defense carrying this team? It just tells you about how complete we are in this team and how much of a luxury it is. I mean, how great it is to be a part of an organization that has greatness on both sides and all three phases and everybody coming together to equate to wins. There are teams out there with a lot of talent. Maybe some teams, if you compare it apples to apples, some people might argue that there are more talent on other teams, but it's not equating to wins. And we should relish that, especially in a game that doesn't play 82 games like the NBA or 162 games like MLB. So, all right, from the 913, how about keeping politics and your opinion off the show? That's my show. Sorry. that whole defeats the whole purpose, Julio, of it being my show. All right, with that, we're going to go to break here and come back in the fourth quarter, talk about this Buccaneers game. This is a game that is extremely important, maybe more important to the Buccaneers than it is to the Chiefs, because they are sitting in a situation where they've lost the last two games. They're going to come in with a mindset of trying to restart, to ignite their season by winning on this stage on Monday night. We're going to talk about it next.
You're listening to Players Only with Dana Hughes on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Mahomes will be under center. As a fullback, it is Travis Kelce. In motion, left to right, they're going to hand it off. Kareem Hunt smashing across the right side and driving Raiders into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. Kareem Hunt with power and the football, and three dudes, Trey Smith, Creed Humphrey, Joe Tooney, blasting in front of him.
Great to hear that sound from Mitch Holters, my partner in the booth. The touchdowns that were scored, especially the physicality in the run game. We are in the fourth quarter, just got a few minutes left before we have to shut it down for this week's version. But we got Brandon. Brandon, make it quick, but don't hurry.
Yeah, hey, man, check this out, bro. I called last week. I asked for a player's perspective on D-Hop. You answered it very well. I was actually getting my hair cut at the time at Sports Clip, of all places, so I had to go off air. But, dude, I wanted to let you know, man, you actually spoke to my football team when I was in high school, bro. I graduated in 98, and, dude, that was amazing. And I just wanted to let you know, for a minute, I thought I could make it to the league because I was 6 foot, 210, and I saw you, and I was like, oh, I might be able to do it. But then I met Jonathan Hayes postseason at an awards banquet, an academic awards banquet, and I realized I ain't going to the league, bro. No, I ain't going to the league, man. And so, man, ever since then, dude, I just kind of followed you because you spoke to us and it was really cool. And I love your takes. I love listening to you. You bring me back to the 90s when you tell your little stories. And I just want to give you your flowers because you know ball. And I know sometimes, you know, when you're raising your hand in class or afraid to raise your hand in class, you're like, does anybody else have a question? And at the end of the day, at least one other person does. And I promise you, man, there are so many people that probably feel like I do about you. And dude, it is an honor to listen to you on a weekly basis during the Chiefs season. And, bro, we love you, man. We really do. So happy Halloween, brother, and happy holidays.
Peace appreciate out, you, man. Happy Halloween as well. Appreciate that. I will tell you, there is a different dynamic because I'm 6'2", Back when I played, I was 215, between 215 and 219 pounds. I'm heavier now, probably in 235-ish range. And when you walk around, like, some people might consider that big. But I can tell you, you can look back in those pictures back in the 90s and see me in the huddle. And I look like a baby compared to John Ault and Will Shields and Tim Grunhard and Ricky Sigler and all these guys that are in the backfield or in the huddle with me. It's a humbling experience when you feel like every other aspect of your life, you walk around your hometown, you walk around in college or in Kansas City, and you're kind of considered a bigger guy. Oh, he must be a football player. And then you get into a huddle and you're like the baby in there where they can just pick you up and carry you around. The size is a factor. So I totally understand you, Brandon, when you say you recognize that at 6'2", 210, that might not have been in the cards for you based on your position. So appreciate that call, man. Appreciate those words too, man. We do a lot in the community with the Chiefs ambassadors and even back then as a Chiefs player. So it's always cool to hear people that were experiencing those times where we tried to speak life into a lot of the youth around the Kansas City and the Chiefs kingdom. All right. We got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers coming to town this Monday night. I got family coming in town from Jersey. My goddaughter, my only goddaughter, Deja, shout out to Deja, coming in town for her first ever Chiefs experience. Hopefully the weather holds up. But this Bucs team, as I mentioned, desperate, lost the last two games. They lost their two top playmakers in Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. There can be concern with that. There's definitely concern if they were healthy and in the lineup, but I can tell you from experience and being a guy that has been part of game plans, game planning defenses as a player and now in the booth as a color analyst, sometimes it can be a little bit more, I wouldn't say scary, but a little bit more startling, maybe even challenging when you have unknown guys that are going to be a bulk of the offense because there's not a lot of film on those guys. You can prepare for the stars and they're going to get their stats. They're going to have their plays and you just kind of reckon that that's part of the package. But when you have guys that you don't really know, that you haven't seen on film, sometimes they can impact the game differently. So let's not make the mistake of feeling like because Mike Evans and Chris Godwin will not be a part of this game as wide receivers, that Baker Mayfield doesn't have any weapons, won't have an opportunity to put points on the board. They are a team that has scored over 30 points in five games this season. They lead the NFL in that category. Now, most of that was happening with those two guys on the field, but that's also a culture thing. They can put points up with the best of them. Cade Otton as a tight end, and if we have one weakness, it's been against opposing tight ends in the past. We got to reckon, and have a game plan against that. So the Buccaneers are going to come in with the mindset of playing the two-time champions and wanting to spoil our parade, give us our first loss, and also jumpstart or re-jumpstart their season on Monday Night Football. It is going to be a challenging game, but we're ready for the challenge just like we are each and every week. I expect more from DeAndre Hopkins. I expect more from this offense, and if we happen to get in the shootout, it's going to make it even more of a special, special evening at GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium. So, with that being said, I'm predicting a Chiefs win. We'll be back next week, 8-0 for Julio in the booth. I am Danon Hughes. Tune in to Players Only next week. Follow us, mute your TVs, and turn on 96.5 The Fan and listen to Mitch and I call the game on Monday night. Have a great and safe Halloween tonight. Peace out.
You're listening to Players Only with Danon Hughes on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.